With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Busy night last night. Friday night, of course, means high school football across the state. We had a pair of games on the air, a pair of homecoming matchups on the air. We played late into the night at Tiger Stadium last night as Huron hosted Sturgis on homecoming for a second consecutive year. Game was delayed an hour to an 8 o'clock kickoff as Sturgis had bus issues coming east from Sturgis. And then we ended up going overtime. It was nearly a three-hour game. In fact, was a three-hour long game. But Huron notches their first win of the season, coming from behind to win in overtime 28-27. Huron scored first in overtime, and then after Sturgis scored and went for two for the win, Huron stopped the two-point conversion by a yard and picked up the victory. Huron trailed 21-6 midway through the third quarter before rallying, and their only lead of the game was when they scored first in overtime. Colt McNeil, 17 of 38 passing, 288 yards, 4 TDs, 2 to Addison Porish and 2 to Blake Elwine. Porish had himself a night with 9 catches for 126 yards and the 2 scores. Elwine had 3 for 45, and his second was the go-ahead in overtime. Landon Hulst ran the ball, 19 carries, 81 yards, here on 1 and 3, and they head to Spearfish next week. Here on KOKK, homecoming matchup for Miller Highmore Herald, but it was all Aberdeen Roncalli, where Roncalli rolled to a 47-14 win over the Rustlers. For Miller Highmore Herald, Derek Brueggemann, 13-22, 152 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 to Isaac Hunter, 8 yards, and 1 to Kellen Hurd, 54. Sunshine Bible shut out Iroquois Lake Preston 6-0. Wabe Summit shut out Redfield 38-0. A battle of unbeaten and top five teams in Class 11B winner on their home field defeated Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central 30-18. Blackhawks, Holden Havlick, 22 of 37 passing, 291 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ryder Mahalik, 13 catches, 135 yards and a touchdown. Colby Flowers, 4 catches, 106 yards and a touchdown. Wolsey Wessington defeated Platte Geddes 36-14. A couple of teams in the area did have byes. In 11AA and AAA, T area allowed Douglas to score first, but then rolled from there 58-3. They defeat the Patriots. Watertown thumped Mitchell 47-14. Harrisburg pulled away in the second half, defeated Yankton 49-14. And Brookings handed Pier their second loss of the season. When was the last time Pier had 2 losses in a season, and when was the last time they were shut out in a game? Brookings 13, Pier 0. Some AAA games, Lincoln 28, Jefferson 16, O'Gorman 46, Rapid City Central 7, Washington defeated Stevens 35-7, and that's the rundown of high school football from last night. Boys golf here on Tigers traveled to the Mitchell Invitational yesterday, took 2 golfers, Jack Bales carded a 96, and Ben Kleinsaucer, a 99. Boys soccer yesterday, James Valley Christian cruised to a 9-0 shutout win over Hot Springs. Schedule for today, busy day in Huron, especially up north around the golf courses. The annual Clyde Cotton Cross Country Invitational is today at Broadland Creek. Varsity races start at 9, then they'll go to JV and also middle school. Last I saw, 23 schools would be competing at Broadland in the run today. In girls tennis, Huron will play Rapid City Stevens and Rapid City Central in Aberdeen today. Soccer, Huron girls and boys are at Sioux Falls Roosevelt. James Valley Christian turns around and plays again today, hosting Custer. Cheer and dance, Huron Tigers are headed to the Brookings Invitational. And volleyball means tournaments on a Saturday. James Valley Christian at the Hamlin Invitational. And DeSmit is at the Lake Preston Invitational. That Lake Preston Invitational has been held something like 30 years now. One other volleyball, and I think this is just your regular 3 out of 5, Oldham Ramona Rutland is at Sanborn Central Woonsocket, and that's the rundown of our schedule for today. Minnesota Twins open up a 3-game weekend series with the Boston Red Sox tonight. Twins need wins any way they can get them. They got one last night, going 12 innings. Kind of hard to do that, to go play 12 innings with today's rules. Was also the third consecutive extra inning game for the Twins. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
Well, the Minnesota Twins and the Boston Red Sox got together on a gloomy night at Fenway Park, and it was quite a battle. A couple of young pitchers on the mound, and they both proved stingy. Tyler O'Neill scored on a Trevor Story single in the fourth. Twins answered with an RBI fielder's choice by Carlos Correa in the seventh. But nine innings, not enough to hold this ball game. Neither team could score a run. Extra innings was a high wire act. Twins couldn't move their free runner in either the 10th or the 11th. Red Sox had a man at third base with less than two outs in both of those innings, but they just kept striking out. First Louis Varland and then Scott Blewett. Finally, in the 12th, the Twins found some offensive traction. Buxton single, they were on at first and third. Trevor Larnach, a little bloop, made it a 2-1 Twins lead. And after Carlos Correa walked, it was Matt Wallner's turn. They'll bring the infield in. You know what's not a fun job? Playing first base in with Matt Wallner batting. And he smokes it through the right side for a base hit. Come on down, Byron Buxton. Larnach checks up at third. It's a 3-1 Twins lead on an RBI single to right field from Matt Wallner. Willie Castro added an all-important sack fly, and then a weary Griffin Jacks, pitching for the fourth time in 5 days, took care of the rest. The Twins win the game in 12, 4-2. Scott Blewett's first ever major league win. Jacks the save. Twins get a big win number 81, give themselves some room to breathe a little bit in the wild card race on a wet Friday night at Fenway on your home for Twins baseball.
Twins go for two in a row at Fenway. Pablo Lopez gets the start, one of those wonderful mid-afternoon games that Major League Baseball likes to do on Saturdays. Pre-game at 2:30, first pitch 3:10, Twins at Boston here on KOKK. Hard to believe, but the regular season wraps up a week from tomorrow. Busy morning on Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll hear from Josh Lean, head volleyball coach of the Huron Tigers. They split their two matches this past week, beating Yankton on Coronation Night Monday, falling to top-ranked Harrisburg on Thursday. Angie Thomas, cross-country coach of the Huron Tigers, will tell us what's happening with all the teams coming to town today to run at Broadland Creek for the Clyde Cotton Cross-Country Invitational. Angie will be with us, and we'll hear from Drew Strand. He's weary. I'm weary. It was a late night last night at Tiger Stadium, but worth it with the homecoming overtime win for Huron over Sturgis. That is our Dakota Sports Saturday show. And that will come up at about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're here with Rich Bragg from Slumberland Furniture. And Rich, let's talk about your fall home sale going on right now. Save up to 50% off, plus no interest for up to 2 years.
That's right. We're doing something really kind of fun. We have no interest for 24 months, so for 2 years, no interest. What's great about it is you're able to combine that with all of our sale prices, so you can still get the lowest sale price, take that 50% off discount, and still finance. And in addition, this particular one has no minimum. So what that does is it really has some fun numbers. For instance, if I put it this way and said, what if you could get a Lazy Boy rocker recliner for $17 a month? How would you like to get an entire Ashley sectional for $34 a month? How about a reclining sofa for $23 a month? You can get a genuine Sealy Posturepedic queen size mattress for $25 a month. You get into the mattresses, Tempur-Pedic's running up to $300 off. Purple is running up to $600 off. Nectar is running 40% off some of their accessories. The really fun part is right now with this no interest financing for 2 years, and you can do it with no minimum.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. First up, Dakota Sports Saturday. We talked with Huron Tiger volleyball coach Josh Lean. The Tigers 1-1. For the week on Monday, big crowd coronation at Huron Arena went the full five sets. It was a grinder, but Huron pulled out the five-set win over Yankton. Then Thursday on the road at Harrisburg top-ranked, two-time defending champion, college Potential college players all over the floor took care of business with a sweep of Huron. But, Coach, going back to Monday, I guess, a grinder to say the least, kind of a survivor-type game. We had our backs against the wall. We're able to pick up the win in set 4-4, set 5, trailed early in set 5, but then got on a roll behind Allie Davis serving 8 straight points, and that put us in position to pick up the win. And again, just kind of a tough one there, but the girls found a way to win there on Monday.
It did take us on to the win. You know, at any point during homecoming, you just hope you can get one, right? Because the girls are focused on several things. We had coronation afterwards, and I asked them to give us just another hour of focus on Yankton across the net. And I think, you know, late in that fourth set, we survived it. And then one set 5, it's not exactly how we felt like the scouting report was going to get drawn up, but sometimes you end up in a match that you gotta just grit your teeth and get through. And I thought the girls did a good job of definitely doing that on Monday.
You know, and there were different girls stepped up. Samantha Magmoradeth had a really good fourth set when, you know, probably one of our most experienced hitters, and we needed her then because we were up against the wall. She answered, and like I said, Allie Davis then, I think it was 8 points served in a row in the fifth set that really put us in position to win it.
Yeah, so, you know, if we want to just start talking about Sam, she did what senior hitters do, right? She found a moment that was going to work for her, and she just kind of carried us through that fourth set. Really provided that spark plug that she's capable of providing, just like every kiddo. We don't get it, you know, we don't get it every match, but she really stepped up and played hard, and that's good. And if we're going to be competitive, it's definitely going to be because kids like Sam and Chloe and Aurora, we play fast, and Jensie's just going to keep making those plays. Allie from the service line in set 5 was brilliant. Allie's one of those kids. She serves hard, and it's high risk, high reward. And when she's on, it's really hard for teams to serve receivers.
Thursday night, the Tigers fell in straight sets to Harrisburg. Harrisburg, 2-time defending champion. They're undefeated, ranked number 1. They have Division I athletes. In fact, their coach told me, out of their 16 girls on the varsity roster, 12 have already been talking to colleges. And, well, Coach, they kind of showed it on Thursday night as they just rolled through. They had everything working. Didn't matter who was hitting in the front row.
No, and all of their kids are talented, right? They're all big. They're talented. And they control the ball fairly well. Obviously, they came out the gate swinging hard. They are as advertised, right? And that's the reason that they're going to really make a run at this thing in 2024. So the reality is we really tried to work on staying quick with our sets, keeping them as off guard as we could. The reality is, you know, Sam's playing on one foot because she bunged up an ankle. I thought she was pretty gutsy trying to get off the floor and help us out. And our floor defense was really working hard to try to speed up our defensive game to try to keep up with them because, you know, obviously their hitters just have so much range and more range than any of our hitters, you know, on a scout team can help us understand. And so we were really trying to make things work. And obviously, you know, Harrisburg's got plenty of talent on their side, hence why, you know, I think Nebraska's watching them play and they got 8th graders starting and 9th graders starting. And they're going to be tough to beat for a long time.
You know, and you know, I felt the first set was just deer in the headlights. Give the girls credit; they built a lead, kept themselves in that second set. But you know, it's just kind of baby steps there. You know, with the inexperience we have and what they have going on. So, bottom line is, you know, I thought we did some positive things there, at least in the second set. You know, those are some things that you can work with.
Those are things that we can work with. I see that, you know, and again, we couldn't put it all together at the same time. I thought Allie Davis took some hard swings on the outside pin throughout the match. Chloe Carr got a few really good block touches. And even Rory came alive on that back pin with a little confidence near the end. But none of it was strung together simultaneously. Credit a little bit to our serve in set 2. We kind of got back to our bread and butter, which is aggressive serving. We mixed it up and threw them for a little bit of a loop and got them on a system for a change. And they weren't able to just pound the ball our direction, which lightened up the load on our defense a little bit. So if we could figure out continue to figure out how to piece those things together a little bit more consistent. You know, we're going to be able to play with some of these better teams, and we got some work to do. There's no doubt about it. Coaching in homecoming week is tough, but coming to Harrisburg is equally as tough. And now we're going to turn around, and we got two matches that hopefully we can stay healthy for, and play hard next week, one on the road up in Aberdeen and the other one at home in against Brookings, and two matches that I think we're capable, if we put it together, to win. And so our focus now has to be dim the lights a little bit, because at the end of the day, you know, this was a match against a good team, and now we got to come together and really work on putting ourselves in a position to win next week.
You know, get a little rest this weekend, and then hopefully the girls go up to Aberdeen thinking maybe, you know, they got us in that five in that marathon match with a 34, 32, 33, 31, whatever it was. So hopefully they want to say, you know what, we want to return the favor.
Yeah, I think we feel like we've got a good shot, and if we can continue to just get a little bit better every day like we have been, we're going to serve Aberdeen out of the gym. That's one of our games, a part of the game that's gotten more aggressive in the last 2 weeks since we've seen them. So feel like if we can capitalize on that, we're going to make them even more one-dimensional and give us a chance to win. Now the other part of that is our ball control has to be tight so that Sam and Chloe can really stay involved. The quicker we can set the ball to Aurora, the better the better chances we have to score. I kind of sound like a broken record, because that's going to be our chance to succeed. But yeah, we really I think both Aberdeen and Huron know it's going to be a good match, and hopefully we can stay loose enough to win it this time instead of taking down in five.
Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. The Tigers now 4-5 on the season, split their matches this week. The five-set win over Yankton Monday, three-set sweep at the hands of top-ranked Harrisburg Thursday. Next week, Tuesday at Aberdeen, home Thursday hosting Brookings, both matches on the air on Tiger. Big cross-country meet in Huron this morning, the annual Clyde Cotton Invitational out at Broadland Creek. I believe 20-some schools expected to run today. We'll talk with Huron Tiger cross-country coach Angie Thomas next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're talking here on Tiger Cross Country with head coach Angie Thomas. Big day for Tiger Cross Country. One of two meets, I believe, that we host, and the biggest meet that we host. The annual Clyde Cotton Invite gets underway this morning. Last I saw, 23 teams will be here running today, and I think all three classes will be represented. We'll get to today's activities coming up, but first off, Angie, let's just talk about the season as a whole. I guess we'll kind of split it up. Girls first, followed by the boys. The girls, you've had some good performances, but just trying to get everybody together, get a full team developed here. That's been kind of the issue or the challenge so far this year.
Yeah, it has been. Right now I've been running four girls in the varsity races. I have Josie Vlieger, who's been my top runner for the past few years now. She's a junior. Lily Swanson, who is new to us this year. She came here from James Valley. She's a freshman. She's been my number two runner consistently. Nora Pester, a sophomore, and Hannah Schoenfelder, a senior. Those are the four girls that I've been running varsity. And then Lily Meyer, who is a sophomore and ran state, oh, I think since her seventh grade year, she's been running at state for us. And then Reva McGaugh, who's a freshman, she ran at state for us last year, too. And right now I'm keeping those two girls at the JV level just to, you know, maybe build some confidence, get a little more speed under their belt. You know, they've only been running 4Ks for JV races up until today. Now, today they're going to get out there and run a 5K. So, you know, hopefully they can be competitive, get their time down a little bit, and I can move at least one of those girls up to the varsity level so we can fill a team.
You know, and on the boys' side, you have consistently been filling a team, and probably on the boys' side as well. This might be one of your more experienced squads that you had, and even the girls are kind of that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have TJ Lean, who's healthy this year, and he's running really well. Tegan Lean, his little brother, who's a sophomore. James Weir, another sophomore. Angelo Medina and Alec Pester are the two seniors. And so, yeah, the boys that I have filling that varsity team are definitely veterans. Out of that group, Tegan, he joined last year for the first time. So he's probably the newest out of those five boys, but they've been really working hard. And in practice, you know, Coach King and I were just talking about, we really wish they would, I mean, TJ gets out and he leads it, and James Weir does a great job. Like, he'll hang with TJ as long as he can, you know, and then we need all the boys to be doing that, though, not just James. So we were just talking, you know, we did a fartlek earlier in the week out at the course, and we, you know, TJ took off, and we just wanted them to stay as a group longer. And so that's something we're working on, and hopefully they get better at doing that, because in turn it's only going to make TJ better and it's only going to make them better. So that's kind of what we're working on right now at the varsity level for boys. At the JV level, we have the Olivo twins, Sebastian and Joshua. They're both sophomores this year. Emerson Sarvis is a sophomore. Colt Fenske, Henry Cruz, and Max Radke are all freshmen. And Max has been leading that boys' JV race. And, you know, he has the potential. We'll see what he does today in the JV race when he's running a 5K. But he may be one of those boys that I'm able to move up at the varsity race as well later on in the season.
You know, I want to get back to TJ Lean. He's a senior now. I imagine he's extremely focused after how last year went, just kind of an odd thing where he suffered the injury at the beginning of the season. I would assume when that injury occurred, he didn't think, well, this is going to just almost wipe out his entire season. But, you know, sometimes the body just heals different ways, and kind of affected his wrestling season as well later on. But like I said, he's probably come back with a renewed focus, as being a senior, this is it.
Yeah, he absolutely has. And he listened to his body more over the summer. He did put on a lot of miles, but he took rest days this last summer where that wasn't something he was really doing the summer before. And he realizes, you know, TJ is a ball of muscle. I mean, I've been fighting the football coaches for years because they want him to play football. And I just tell him he's a runner. Leave him alone. So, you know, he has a different body type for cross country, but he's blessed with having that endurance, that work ethic, and he loves to run. And I think that really shows in his racing. It shows when he's at practice. He is a great leader. I mean, he's one of those guys that will get them moving, get going with warm-ups after practice. He'll get them together to do ab workouts. So he's definitely been a great leader the last few years. Last year, though, with that injury, he'd go over and go swimming. And, you know, we really missed him last year as part of the team. So it is great to have TJ back, that's for sure.
Again, talking with Angie Thomas, head cross-country coach for the Huron Tigers. Clyde Cotton, Huron Invitational is today. Overall numbers, how are you sitting right now? You did mention some of the JV boys. Just overall, girls and boys, how are the numbers this year?
On the boys' side, we're looking pretty good. I'm happy with the numbers on the boys' side. We have quite a few middle schoolers out. Eighth grade, what do we have? Three eighth graders that have been out since sixth grade. and we have 6 seventh graders that are out. So that's real promising on the sixth grade side. I know we always lose some of them, but we're starting out with 5 boys. So our middle school looks really strong and coming up. Corbin Fuchs, as an eighth grader, he's been running really well for us. And Charleston Wachter in seventh grade and Sawyer Storm and Luke Blieger, all seventh graders, have been running really well for us as well. So on the boys' side, I'm thinking our numbers should be pretty steady over the next few years. I am losing 3 seniors in TJ, Angelo, and Alec, though, and that will definitely hurt us next year. On the girls' side, that's where we're really struggling. We don't have a lot of middle schoolers out. I think we only have, well, I guess we have about 7 sixth graders out, but we don't have any eighth grade girls. And we do have 3 seventh grade girls that were with us last year as well. And Harper Spilby, who's in seventh grade, has been doing really well in the 3K races. She hasn't ran anything over a 3K, so I would be interested in seeing what she can do later in the season. I might have to bring her up and put her in a JV race later on, because in the high school, I'm running 6 girls, and it's really hard to fill a competitive team when you only have 6 girls in the whole high school. So that's where we're struggling right now on the girls' side. Like I said earlier, Lily Swanson has been a great addition. Talk about a coachable girl. I mean, we tell her what to do, and she does it. And she's only going to make Josie better, make Nora better, you know, Hannah. So, you know, it's been, they're competitive. We just need more.
Well, looking at today, nice to run at home. You don't get too many opportunities, just because that's the way cross-country works, basically. But the annual Clyde Cotton is always a very big meet. This year looks to be no exception. The last time I looked, I think I counted a total of 23 teams that will be running today out there at Broadland Creek. And I think we have representatives from all 3 classes here in South Dakota as well. So there'll be a lot of kids running, no matter which grade, which class, which level they're running today.
Yeah, we will have. We usually have about 100 that are on the line. So it's a great meet to come out and watch. We are running varsity first this year. We've only done that 1 or 2 other times, but our varsity girls are going to be running right away at 9 o'clock this morning with the varsity boys to follow. And then we'll go JV girls, JV boys, middle school girls and middle school boys. So we'll have, you know, we limited the varsity and JV races to 10 entries apiece, and then the middle school is unlimited. So there gets to be quite a few middle schoolers on that line, and it's fun to watch the kids run. And, you know, we do have 12 AA schools that will be running, and 8 out of the 10 are ESD schools. And we're hosting ESD this year. So we actually are picking up 1 more meet this year. So I was kind of surprised that Harrisburg and Yankton weren't going to be coming to this meet just so they could, you know, run on the course 1 time before we host ESD in October.
I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of forgot about that. We do have 3 meets this year, including the ESD along with today and also the Roger Lecker. But always fun here when you get your big meet like this, when you have this many teams from all the classes. You might get a chance to see some of those runners in the other classes that you normally would not get a chance to see otherwise.
Yeah, it is fun to see the other runners. And sometimes we get in our own little bubble and we kind of forget how competitive everyone else is. So it's nice to get out there and compete against some different people. I mean, we go to the same meets each year. We added the Augie Twilight, where both JV and varsity ran at it this year. So our kids definitely got a good look at even runners from other states that were competing in that. But I always like the Clyde Cotton because we're all together, and it's a good experience to get out there and compete hard against kids that you don't always see.
And not only that, we do like our course at Broadland as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we're on there once a week practicing We're not the only team that likes that we have hills on our course. It's not an easy course, and I know it's not a fan favorite because if you're going to go watch our cross-country meet, you're probably going to have to move a little bit and get to different areas. But, yeah, we love our cross-country course. Scott DeBoer, our new AD, he kind of tweaked it a little. It's pretty much the same. He's just using some landmarks more, like trees to go around instead of a cone to go around. And honestly, that's just more, you don't have to worry about anybody cutting short if they know they have to go around a tree and not a little cone. So, you know, there's been just a few tweaks, and that's what it was. But we were able to get out on the course on Wednesday after he had it marked. And so, yeah, he's done a great job with it, and we look forward to the teams running here today.
And wrap it up with this, I'd almost call this pretty close to the middle point of the season. As you get towards the end of October, that's when you're looking ahead to a state. But just talk briefly where we're at, where we want to go, what you've seen, and what we want to see kids improve on.
Well, right now the kids are running on tired legs. And, I mean, I have to tell them that. We have one meet a week, and that's part of our workout right now. So right now we're running on tired legs. And then, you know, this week being homecoming did not help matters. I mean, we have the parade. I have a lot of kids in marching band. So not only did we walk in the parade on Friday, and then Friday night was the football game, and I have a lot of kids that stood the entire time, you know, cheering them on or playing in the band. And so not only do we already have tired legs because of the workouts that they've been doing all week, but now they've been on their feet all week as well with different homecoming activities. So we run through, and I'm sure, I mean, I'm not the only team that does this. So, you know, we run on tired legs now, but about a week before ESD, now we're going to start backing off a little bit because I do want them to have fresh legs when we run ESD on October 12th. And then after that, we kind of cut back a little bit and then maybe ramp up the intensity, just not as far as what we usually run now toward the beginning of the season. So that's where we're at right now.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country. The annual Clyde Cotton Cross Country Invitational gets underway this morning out at Broadland Creek. Varsity races are first this year. They kind of mix that up sometimes, but 9 o'clock this morning, girls followed by the boys. There's also JV and middle school runs scheduled for today as well. Will be a busy day out of Broadland Creek after Cross Country Day, by the way. The Huron School Foundation annual golf scramble will be held, a nine-hole event out at Broadland Creek as well. So busy times out there at the golf course, cross country, and then the fundraising golf tournament as well. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're here with Rich Bragg from Slumberland Furniture. And, Rich, let's talk about your fall home sale going on right now. Save up to 50% off, plus no interest for up to 2 years.
That's right. We're doing something really kind of fun. We have no interest for 24 months, so for 2 years, no interest. What's great about it is you're able to combine that with all of our sale prices, so you can still get the lowest sale price, take that 50% off discount, and still finance. And in addition, this particular one has no minimum. So what that does is it really has some fun numbers. For instance, if I put it this way and said, what if you could get a Lazy Boy rocker recliner for $17 a month? How would you like to get an entire Ashley sectional for $34 a month? How about a reclining sofa for $23 a month? You can get a genuine Sealy Posturepedic queen size mattress for $25 a month. You get into the mattresses, Tempur-Pedic's running up to $300 off. Purple is running up to $600 off. Nectar is running 40% off some of their accessories. The really fun part is right now with this no interest financing for 2 years, and you can do it with no minimum.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. Back up on Dakota Sports Saturday here on Tiger Football with head coach Drew Strand. The Tigers, an exciting 28-27 overtime homecoming win over the Sturgis Scoopers last night, featured a comeback and just got things going in the second half after they fell behind by two scores. And so much to talk about, Coach. It's hard to tell even where to start. Bottom line is, it was like we made an adjustment. Sturgis got the ball, scored two times in a row there in the third quarter, and then both defense and offense, it seemed like we made some adjustments, some changes, and it took a while, but it got ourselves back into the game, got us to overtime where we got the win.
Yep. I mean, our guys really worked hard that second half when we went in at halftime and really talked it over with them, trying to figure it out, and got it finally going and seeing, you know, kind of glimpses of things that we could do. And just kept moving the ball, you know. Hats off to Sturgis and those guys at number 73. We definitely had to make a lot of adjustments to try to block him in our pass protection, which, you know, we just had to figure out how to get the ball out quick. And, you know, sometimes you just got to have seven guys block and have the rest of your guys just run downfield and throw it up and see if you can make a play. And we ended up making some of those plays.
You know, and like I said, I thought both sides of the ball adjusted there after we fell behind 21-6. And you mentioned keeping all those guys in to block. Well, it helps when you can put 6'9 and 6'5 on the outside, because I knew Sturgis was thinking about it coming into the game and during the game. But at the end of the day, it's hard to stop those guys. Anderson Porish, I had him 9 catches, 126 yards, and the 2 touchdowns. Blake Elwine, who still is becoming more of a decoy at anything, which helps loosen Anderson up. And also Riley Winiger had a big catch in there as well. You know, if Colton has time, there's things we can do.
Yep. I mean, when we can figure it out, our guys get open and they run pretty good routes. And sometimes, yep, exactly how you said it, Blake ends up being a decoy and it usually leaves someone else wide open. But it's really tough when he's 6'9". You know, if they're going to leave him one-on-one, we got to be able to throw it to him at times, and he's got to make some plays. And then when they want to double him, we got to be able to utilize their other guys. And the other guys, I think, with Riley, you get Logan back 100%, and Anderson, I mean, they're all good enough to make the plays as well. Just makes it a little tougher, you know, just matchups are more the same. But, you know, those guys really showed out for us last night and got it done for older guys and really helped them get that homecoming win.
You know, and maybe the X factor for us, because we came up with an X factor that Sturgis didn't. Landon Hulst, I had him, I think, 19 carries, 81 yards. You know, we don't need him to rip off 250 like the Jost kid did for Sturgis last night, but we just need to show we can run the ball, and that part of the game is coming around a little. On the other hand, Sturgis, a run-heavy team, you know, they got a pass to keep you honest, but they struggled with that last night. I mean, we still had trouble with Jost, but, you know, that the fact that we could show we could run the ball a bit definitely helped the passing game.
Yep, I think it'll definitely help us, you know, moving forward and opening up. You know, once other teams start seeing our film, they're going to have to find ways to guard Anderson and Blake at the same time, and if they don't match up right, they're going to have to try to find ways to double them and things like that, so which will open up the run game for Landon and let him really take off. He's really shifty in there and can move really well. And you get Thackeray healthy with him, and all of a sudden those two now are just kind of taking off, and they'll be able to run the ball once, you know, we got young guys still. Only 4 games into these sophomore varsity, you know, starters, and, you know, they've made some huge steps and they've made some progress, and just continuing to get those guys worked out, and then I think Landon will explode and have some big games as well.
And Colt McNeil, a tale of two halves, really. He struggled in the first half, threw a couple of picks when we had a chance to score, but he changed his mindset in the second half, it looked like. And like I said before, if he has time, he's going to pick the opposing defense apart. And, you know, and it happened enough there when we rallied, got the momentum, and then rolled from there and, you know, got help from all around. The offensive line started getting the job a little better done. I know we mentioned Hulst. He was staying in a lot to help block as well, and that seemed to keep a little of the pressure off. We'd roll him out from time to time too, so just different things to help out.
Yep, I mean, he can definitely be a threat back there throwing the ball. He's got good arm on him when he's doing it right, correctly. I think in the first half, we just kind of had our homecoming jitters, and everyone was worried about winning their homecoming game instead of just playing the football and seeing how it pans out at the end and giving your chance at the end, and that's exactly what we did the second half. We kind of rallied around that, and everybody just kind of started doing their jobs and kind of relaxed and settled in a little bit and just helped each other out and just kind of went forward on progressing on the plays and executing them, you know, to what we exactly need to be able to make the plays, to be able to be in the games, and I thought that helped us out a lot in the second half.
You know, defensively, Oakley Anderson kind of had to fill what we would see from Colby Hofer. You had other guys in there. Cooper Bischoff had a nice game back there. Bubba Peterson, I think I said it last night, I thought that was his best game on defense. He's been a three-year starter. I think that's the best game of his career. Mason Juergens, an underrated guy back there, because I think he's a little bit like Oakley. He's smart. He knows where to be, and he was in on a lot of things, too. And another guy that's shown a lot of improvement both sides of the ball, but certainly on defense, Riley Winiger.
Yep, I mean, those two we knew kind of going in, they were going to have to fill back there and move around. And those two with Riley and Mason, they move around a lot. I know Riley played safety right away, now he's playing corner, and we're moving those guys around and putting Anderson back at safety now. And then Mason's got to go from safety to linebacker to end and kind of just moving those guys around. And smart enough to be able to move them around, just got to give them just a little more quickness when they're reading things and understand it and just kind of go. But yeah, they definitely filled in for us last night. Oakley does a fantastic job. You can tell that he definitely watches film and he knows kind of some of the plays before they're going to happen when they come out on the field. So we just got to continue to do things like that and find ways to keep Oakley free so he can come in and fill and make tackles.
So let's go to the overtime. We get the ball first. I assume that means we lost the flip because general in overtime, you want to take defense first so you know what you need to do. You know, we didn't make it easy on ourselves, but we did get it there using, again, 6'9" to get the touchdown. All-important extra point. That's been a on-again, off-again proposition for us this year, but Micah drilled it through. Then they come out. I was just calling it a rugby formation because I think that's really what it was, and just Jost get scores in three plays, but then they go for it too. I agreed with that. End it when you can. I think you would have done the same thing if you had the ball last, and they were 1 yard short. You said it started with Bischoff, ended with Lion Decker on that last play.
Yep, I mean, those guys did a phenomenal job, especially there at the end there to kind of hold that. I know we made some adjustments with their rugby style offense there, and you know, they just wanted to find a hole and drive it in there. And you know, they run the ball really hard and really well, and they got some big guys up front, so we just kind of adjusted, slid in our linebackers to fill those inside gaps, and Cooper Bischoff did a fantastic job. His guy down blocked and he clawed a bed off the edge there and got there first and helped it spill out to Logan Leindecker and Mason Juergens, who were both out there to stop it. And finally we get our corners. You know, that's what we're talking about when we're telling our corners to scoot up and help fill and just challenge them a little bit. You know, we kind of knew they were going to try and run the ball, and so we just kind of fit that gap and stood in there. And then on our drive, you know, I knew we had to take a chance eventually, but we had to do it before it was, you know, sometimes you wait, and all of a sudden now they can double cover those guys. And I knew at some point we're going to have to come back to Blake, and you know, he really did a fantastic job, and he was kind of going that the whole fourth quarter. Once he kind of sees Andy get going, then he kind of gets going himself and wants the ball more. So just those two kind of competing with each other and, you know, just lifting each other up. It's good when you can throw up a jump ball and, you know, hopefully one of our guys is going to come down with it. And when you got two options, it's really tough to cover both of them. So just a great job and way to end the game and a good homecoming game for our kids. And just for those young guys who are in to kind of have that success and kind of go through that grind of a close game early on, I think should benefit us moving forward as well.
And, you know, just a day, I guess I'm going to go back to overtime first here. And I decided not to say anything about it when we began overtime. I did at the end. That is the first overtime win I've had in here on Tiger football. Just something always happens. Usually we're the one with the ball last and score and then don't get the two-point conversion and lose by one. That's happened a couple of different times now. And that's the first time I remember winning an overtime game in recent memory. 222 games in a row. Not that it's about me, but bottom line is, you know, you just got to play with confidence, and whatever unit's on the field last just knows they need to make a play, and it happened last night.
Yep. I mean, I can remember, you know, I go all the way back to the Yankton game when Schmitz was the head coach here, and I remember that was kind of our, I think that was our first overtime game. We had a couple with him as well, and that was back when we had Corco and those guys. So yeah, I remember those and losing those close ones. You know, it sucks when you end up being on the other side, but like you said earlier, you know, if we get the ball second, we're doing the same thing and going for two and trying to go for the win. So hats off to those guys and everything they've done. And you know, it feels good to come out on top, you know, especially an overtime win, and just see those guys and see what can happen in close games. And when you give yourself a chance and you do exactly what you're supposed to do and execute, you know, it's there for you, and the chance is there for you to take the win and have an exciting win and get your crowd behind you.
Okay, I forgot about Yankton because I know we've had overtime twice with Pierre, once with Schmitz, once with Budenhagen. There was an overtime at Watertown with Postman. I think the Watertown one was a kicked field goal after we didn't score. But again, you know, you just got to make a play there. Long day, and even before we knew we were going to play a three-hour game. So you're always, you know, you're no matter what the kids say, you're always worried with the parade, class day in the morning, a lot of fun. Then you find out we're going to wait an extra hour to go, and you know, the kids though responded. They own that's got to be your core of seniors to lead the way there, and especially in the second half that happened.
Yep, I mean, that group came in. I still had them come in at the same time. They were a little more relaxed. That way they just kind of got in, started thinking about football and what they had to do, you know, that night. You know, it was all that stuff, all the exciting stuff that was going on throughout the day, just distractions for us. But once they get in the locker room, they did a good job of focusing up and really understanding, you know, once we got those jitters out and they kind of just relaxed and started playing football. You know, I know they had some guys who got struggle at times, and if calls don't go our way, we get a little worried sometimes. But you know, that's where it just goes to show you, you know, it's going to be tough no matter what it is, and you just got to continue to find a way to drive through it and, you know, just stay in the game for the whole game. And at the end of the game, then hopefully we have the winning score on the scoreboard. And last night we did, so you know, hats off to those guys to being able to lock it in with all the distraction going on and, you know, come away with that.
I know your thoughts already going to Spearfish now. We go out there next week. They're really having their best season in a number of years, but they did get their first loss last night at Aberdeen. Aberdeen getting their first win in the process. I know we'll talk more about Spearfish next week. Bottom line is, you throw Watertown out right now, they're the team that's really playing the best, and they're a deserved number one. Other than that, boy, we are just a jumbled mess right now in Double A.
Yep, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts this year. You know, you don't really have Pierre's not the same juggernaut team. I mean, they're still good, but they're not the same as they've always been. And then Watertown just kind of coming out. I don't know if anyone expected that right away. I figured they'd be pretty good, but, I mean, who can you tell? And then everybody else now is starting to go through, you know, those tough teams, and it's definitely going to be a lot of shifting around and moving around. So I think, I mean, there's a good chance, you know, if you can find a way and go on a run here and get some wins, I think we got a good shot at, you know, being in places. And, you know, it's not always going to be this is number one, two, and three, you know, for your home, your playoff games and trying to figure out who you're going to play. You know, I know that's a long ways away, but kind of looking forward, we kind of knew that this was the number one game last night that we had to win to kind of start that trend of, you know, finding ways in and finding ways to get against games in the playoffs that we can hopefully have a chance in. And you know, that was the first step, and we just got to continue this run and kind of go on a little run for our guys if they want to have some success at the end of the season, give ourselves a chance
and give the kids credit. We'll just wrap it up with this. 3 weeks ago, Yankton, we knew we had some things to do. Yankton to Pierre, we saw improvement. Pierre to T, we saw some more improvement. And then we learned off those three games, and T to Sturgis equals a win. And you know, so for a young team, that's the growth you need.
Yep, I mean, the growth is coming and it's there. You know, I've always said we just got to find a way to put four quarters of play. And you know, those first 3 weeks, I thought it was in the first half when we played really well, and then all of a sudden it would kind of die off there in the second half. And then last night, all of a sudden here we flipped the script and we're getting through the wrinkles in the first half, and then all of a sudden the second half we lock in. So when we can figure out how to put that together for four quarters, I think this is a pretty special team, and they can do a lot of things if they want to. I know they got a lot of young guys, but also a lot of new things and new guys, you know, with new weapons that we have. So I think we just got to continue to find ways to move the ball on offense and help out our defense. And defense, hopefully they just keep standing strong and holding these guys and, you know, just continue to do what they do. And offense, just continue to move the ball and score.
Bruce Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers notched their first win of the season, the first overtime win in recent memory, 28-27. They defeat the Sturgis Scoopers and pick up the win. Now head off to Spearfish next week. Return home 2 weeks against Douglas. Up next, it's Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
It's a pleasure to have former Pro Bull rider, pro rodeo announcer, pro stock contractor, and pro rodeo promoter Rory Limmel on the show this week. Mr. Limmel hails from the ranch country of Face, South Dakota, 112 miles from the nearest Starbucks, but that's a good thing. Rory has a daunting task of organizing the Cinch Playoffs Governor's Cup event. That's coming up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, September 26th through the 28th at the beautiful and state-of-the-art Sanford Premier Center. Rory, this is like a three-day NFR without dealing with Las Vegas. Tell us about the playoff system and who's going to be coming to Sioux Falls.
Amani, it's the 60 biggest rodeos is how they qualify. Last year, everybody was a little unsure how it worked, but these guys get points going to the 60 biggest rodeos, and those guys jockey for positions. 24 go to Puyallup, Washington. The four that make the four round in Puyallup automatically gets in Sioux Falls, and then the next eight in the point standings.
Still confusing.
It's confusing, but it's basically the top 12 in the world. Turns out if you're in the top 12, you've been winning at a lot of big rodeos.
It takes an incredible team effort to put this thing together. Tell us about the process of turning the Premier Center into a world-class rodeo arena.
I'll have approximately 300 people working on the project. They have a rock concert on Sunday night. We're hoping they're out of the building by 2 in the morning. Benji Bendeley, who happens to be one of the top sound people in the world, also is one of the top light persons in the world. So he'll be here. I got another group out of Nashville here. And then the dirt comes pouring in, and I bring in an expert from Ohio, and he comes over there, and same one that does the National Finals Rodeo. And we'll put the plywood down. We'll start putting dirt in there and getting things set. This year, I got to put a moat in the building.
Whoa.
Pretty interesting. Three truckloads of preferts is coming up. That's not to mention my Harper and Morgan Arena will come out to the fairgrounds at 17 different stock contractors.
Wow.
So we have a lot of stuff going on.
Incredible.
Sure.
Really is. I've been there to everyone, and just an incredible show. You do a great job. Sioux Falls is a beautiful city. Anybody listening across the nation that hasn't been to Sioux Fu, especially in September, the leaves are turning just spectacular. Now, tickets will sell out fast. How does one obtain them, and how many of your buddies ask for free tickets, Rory?
I'm pretty popular.